Welcome back to JR Morning with Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro now in U.S. custody. The focus is shifting from geopolitics to rule of law, and questions are mounting about jurisdiction and due process and what changes he could face, charges rather, he could face in an American courtroom, as well as how unprecedented this case could ripple through international law and future U.S. actions abroad. And to walk us through what happens next, we're joined by Matthew Snyder, partner at Huntington and former U.S. attorney. Matthew, good to speak with you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me back.
So from a legal standpoint, when someone like Nicolas Maduro is brought into U.S. soil, what is the very first thing that happens procedurally and practically?
The very first thing that happens to Maduro is the same thing that happens to any other criminal defendant named in any case, which is he has to be brought in front of a judge for arraignment at the nearest possible time, the quickest possible time. And that's what's likely to happen today. He'll be brought in front of the judge. The judge will explain the crimes that he's charged with, will explain the mandatory minimum, if any, and maximum penalties, and we'll be advising him of his right to obtain an attorney. If he can't afford one, of course, he'll be appointed one. Sounds like he's probably going to be able to afford one. And then the question will be, just like in any other case, about bond. Should he be detained pending this trial, or should he be released on bond? And I don't think it's any secret that he's not going to be released. He's going to be detained, and the government will put forth very strong arguments for why he should be detained.
Looking at the indictment, anything stick out to you? There are these four counts. One's narco-terrorism conspiracy, one's cocaine importation, one is, toggle down, possession of machine guns, and one more is conspiracy to possess machine guns. Anything stick out?
So a lot of those are the normal charges that federal prosecutors bring. I've charged cocaine conspiracy many, many times, and that's something that a lot of prosecutors do. This conspiracy to commit narco-terrorism, that's a bit different. That charge will really reach into the inner workings of Venezuela, the inner workings of the Colombian FARC, the other entities involved, the Sinaloa cartel, Tren Aragua. That's going to require a lot of expert witnesses and a lot of testimony and a lot of people who were there actually present. Maybe some eyewitnesses will be called to testify as to what they were doing. That's a pretty broad charge, and it will really delve deeply into the facts and circumstances. And that one itself will be pretty extensive and will take a long time for the government to present.
It was 360 days ago today that the Biden administration had announced that they were offering a $25 million bounty on Nicolas Maduro that for information leading to his arrest. So he's been wanted for quite some time. The United States has not recognized his leadership in Venezuela, but that doesn't mean this is unprecedented. I mean, the fact that he was brought from Venezuela to the United States to face these charges is we just haven't seen anything like this before at this level.
Well, that's right. Not exactly like this. We did see something very similar with Noriega in Panama back in 1989, where it is very factually similar. Noriega was indicted by a federal grand jury for drug trafficking, conspiracy to commit cocaine trafficking, just like Maduro. There was a validly issued arrest warrant for him, just like Maduro. And the United States went in and they grabbed him and they brought him in for arraignment, just like Maduro is going to do today. It's the same type of situation. So from that respect, the same things will play out in court. Now, it remains to be seen how long this will be. I think it's going to be several years before we even get to a trial because of all of the evidence. A lot of this evidence is classified. It will require special testimony, special approval from the court to even come out. And then the president's statements, unlike President Bush, who didn't really say anything antagonistic compared to the Trump administration, President Trump has said a lot of things about Venezuela, and I'm sure that his defense attorneys, Maduro's defense attorneys, are going to be latching onto that and going to be saying that maybe that's why they can't get a fair trial in this particular case.
Yeah, Matthew, that was going to be my question. I'm wondering what legal challenges you expect that defense team to raise first, jurisdiction, maybe sovereignty, the legality of his capture, or something else, as you talked about.
I think all of those, Lloyd, they'll argue that he was not legitimately captured. They tried that with Manuel Noriega, that failed. They'll argue that it's a violation of international law, which from many respects, a lot of people think it was. I mean, it is a violation of the UN Charter, Article 2, to go into a foreign country and attack it without provocation. So there are arguments for that. However, there's a government position here that doesn't violate it because there's U.S. law that was violated, and that supersedes the international law. So those are going to be some of his defenses. He'll probably also argue that he's immune as a head of state. Noriega argued the same thing, and he lost. So that really leaves him with that more unique aspect of being able to argue that the jury pool is tainted and he can't get a trial that is fair anywhere in the United States. And that's something that really didn't come up in the Noriega case, but it could very well come up here.
Matthew Snyder, partner with Honigman, former U.S. attorney here. Appreciate your insight as always. Happy New Year. Thanks for being here.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
I'm wondering also what this means to other foreign, you know, actors and leaders who are accused of crimes, you know, but they believe they're untouchable. What does that do to them? How are they feeling this morning? There are others out there that are dictators and do bad things.
I think it's a little different because, I mean, this guy didn't even win his last election. It was stolen.
It was stolen, yeah.
I mean, his Supreme Court ruled on his behalf in that case. I mean, the world at large did not recognize him. Everybody saw it. You know, these international groups that monitor elections realized that this was not a fair election. So, I mean, it's a little different if you know that this guy is sitting in the seat wrongly.
Well, is it? I mean, this is a sovereign nation. We don't have anything to do with their politics or their elections.
No, that's true. That's true. But I think it would be a little different if, like, the United States wants to go and take, you know, Claudia Sheinbaum and bring her into the United States for colluding with these cartels. I just don't think that it's not that. It's different. There is a difference in that. So I don't think other world leaders are worried. Who I think should be worried are the folks like these cartels in places like Mexico, in places like Colombia, because I could see the United States taking military action against them.
Yeah, and most of the drugs, if we're really talking about drugs, come from Mexico and those cartels.
Yeah.
Coming up, I'll tell you about some Michigan lawmakers' reactions to this U.S. strike on Venezuela and the capture of President Maduro. That's next on JR Morning.